turn to Psalm 37 tonight. Just looking at some different characteristics that are important in the Christian life, and just trying to highlight some things. And maybe these are things you already know, perhaps. But it's good to maybe. I like the word Selah in Psalms. You've seen that before, right? It just means to stop and meditate, basically. It means to think about it, ponder it, you know, contemplate. It's good to just kind of think about. Maybe even take some time to put some application to these things, all right? And but I want you to look here at Psalm 37 tonight. We're going to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able. If not, do not fret it at all. We understand. And God understands. Amen. But we're going to look at verse 1. I'm going to read tonight. Just follow along. Verses 1 through 9. Here in Psalm 37, we're going to talk about a characteristic of the Christian. And I think you're going to like this one. Because it really signifies what our life is to be for the Lord. It says here in Psalm 37 in verse 1, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." In Proverbs 16, 1 through 3, it says, "The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Tonight I just want to talk to you about the characteristic of being committed. Being a committed Christian. One of the things that we can do as a Christian is be faithful. Amen. One of the things that we can do as a Christian is be committed. And committed to the Lord. And that's something that everybody could do. You say, "Well, I don't have the talents and abilities that you have." Good. I promise you, the world does not need another me. All right? I don't know if it could bear that or not. And you could probably say the same thing about yourself, right? Listen, we can all be committed, can't we? God doesn't want us to be necessarily like one another as far as doing the same things, having the same personalities and all that stuff. We're all different. God created, but we can all be committed. We can all shine the characteristic of commitment in our lives each day. So simply giving control of my life fully to the Lord is one way to describe being committed. If I don't have anything to fall back on and I'm just trusting in God, that's commitment. Okay? If I have a plan B, that's not commitment. Many of you got to meet my mom. I remember when I was first in the ministry coming down here to Texas, and she asked me, she said, what are you going to do if this preaching thing doesn't work out. I said, I don't know. I'm not worried about it. I'm committed to this. There is nothing else. She goes, then she, after a few years, she's like, well, what are you going to do for retirement? I said, Mom, preachers don't retire. They just die. Just how it works. That's just it. I'm not concerned about those things. I know that my God is going to take care of me no matter what. Just into the school year, a few weeks, getting an email saying, would you pray about possibly becoming the next pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Wylie, Texas? I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't prepared for that. But can I tell you something? God's working everything out just the way He wants to. And I'm not worried about it. Okay? I haven't lost one of my gray hairs because of that. I've lost my hairs because of other things, but not because of that. Listen, it's a joy to be committed to the Lord. There is great peace in that commitment. Because can somebody tell me someone better to commit to? Or something better or more safe or secure to commit to than the Lord? No, I can't think of anything. So why not? Just, if you will, sell out. Be wholly committed to the Lord. So first of all, we want to talk about something that we as Baptists are familiar with, if you will. And those of you watching online, you may not be familiar with the subject of eternal security. I talked about this in our Sunday school lesson back in December. But so just very quickly, I'm going to be committed by giving complete control of my salvation in the hands of God. I am not worried whether or not I'm going to heaven because it's not in my hands. It's in His hands. Listen, if I had to worry about keeping my salvation from day to day, I would be a mess. And so would you. The proverbial basket case. Right? I can't even trust myself to remember my name from day to day, let alone keep my salvation. And what if I died on a bad day? Oh, well. Oh, well. No, that's a big deal. Maybe you don't have bad days. Are you one of those perfection people? I don't think so. Okay, no. It's funny, we talked to one of those guys a couple weeks ago down in Arlington. Said, I haven't sinned in 18 years. Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. 18 years? It's hard to go 18 minutes without doing something against what the Lord says not to do. My goodness. But you know what? We just ought to be committed that salvation is of the Lord. Psalm 31 verses 5 and 6 said, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Psalm 27, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Lamentations, verses 22 through 26, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It doesn't say the salvation of man. It's the salvation of the Lord. It's His salvation. He provides it. He accomplishes it. And He keeps it. John 10, verses 27 through 30. You probably have heard this many times. But this is one of my favorite assurance verses to give out to people. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me,
And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Listen, folks, aren't you glad we're not having to keep ourselves saved? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. We don't wash ourselves. He did the work. He paid for it all. We can rest in that. We're committed to that. Fully committed to that. We trust in the Lord. Remember those that are going to be in the last day. Lord, Lord, we prophesied in thy name and did mighty works in thy name. What is he going to say to them? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Never. That doesn't mean they got saved and they lost their salvation. Because if they got saved, he would have known them. And then when they left the faith, or they got to a place where that salvation no longer applied to them, then he would have forgotten them, right? But no, he didn't say that, I knew you once, but you went away, now I don't know you anymore. No, he didn't say that. He said, I never knew you. Never. Well, folks, we don't lose salvation. You may not have ever had it to start with, but you can't lose it. Because it's committed to him. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I love what's said here by Paul, the apostle. If you don't have this verse committed to memory, you ought to. It wraps up eternal security for us. 2 Timothy chapter 2 or chapter 1 and verse 12. I love what he says to Timothy in verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hey, folks, Paul's committed to it. He's committed it to the Lord. He's committed to eternal security and control of our salvation is completely 100% in the hand of God Almighty. And aren't you glad? And aren't you glad? Listen, the Bible says that we're supposed to trust in the Lord with all our heart, right? And lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Folks, that's what it's supposed to be like. Being committed to him is putting ourselves in his hand. And listen, I try not to make fun of the disciples because I could be just like them. I understand that. But they're in the boat with him. He's sleeping on a pillow in the back of the ship. For master, carest thou not to be perished? Really, guys? But don't sometimes believers go through that? He said to them, sometimes I preach a message, maybe I'll preach it sometime here, I don't know. I talk about little faith, no faith, and much faith. I can't remember which one, but he either said no faith or little faith to them at that moment in time. But the point was, it wasn't much faith. I don't know how committed they were at that point in time. They were fully committed. Committed was a shining characteristic in their life. They'd be like, hey, cool guys, look at this storm. This way, Jesus is sleeping. Anybody else want to take a nap? I mean, come on. Doesn't it show how committed or not committed they were? I'm just saying, we need to know that he has control of our salvation. How about this? We said the committed, or a definition for committed was giving control of my life fully to the Lord. Does he have control of your life? Remember, you're bought with a price. Ye are not your own. Folks, when I got saved, I no longer was the owner of this life. I'm not. I am now the resident manager. Yeah. Right, the resident manager. I do not own this life. It has been paid for by someone else. It belongs to him. And if I'm going to be committed, right? If I'm going to be committed, this life is not my own. I do not get to do what I want with it. I get to do what he wants with it. And that's commitment. You know what a good manager does? A good manager takes care of the owner's property. And they're committed not to themselves as a manager, but they are committed to the owner of the property. If the owner says, I want this apartment complex painted yellow with purple polka dots, that's what happens. Because it's the owner's property, not the manager's. And the manager says, that's stupid. Nobody's going to want to live here. So I'm not going to paint it that color. I'm going to paint them white. That manager is not committed. Hey, you know what? I'm not sure that as far as wealth and fame and fortune goes, that being a pastor of a church is the way to go. And guess what? I don't care. Because it's not my life. It's his life. He gets to do with it what he wants to do. And you know what? This hot-natured North Dakota farm boy, number one, doesn't like the city very much. Number two, I don't like 100-degree days. I don't. I like what we had back in February. And I know you're all mad at me, okay? But I do. I was having so much fun. It was great. Yes, he's nuts. He's flipped. No, I haven't flipped. I've always been that way. But you know what? I'm okay. I'm happy. Because it's not my life. It's his. I'm committed to it. Psalm 37, verses 39 through 40. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19, it says, this charge I commit unto thee, thy son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. He says, hey, you need to be committed, because those that aren't committed, they end up in shipwreck. Their life is shipwrecked. What did Paul say? He said, hey, I'm gonna keep my body in subjection, because unless I preach to others, I myself become castaway. I don't want to be a castaway. I want to be committed to the Lord and to the life that he wants me to lead. We've heard Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, an owner looks at a manager and says, hey, I want you to take care of my properties. I want you to do what I want with them. I want you to have my best interest in mind, because that's your reasonable service. I'm going to pay you for that. To be a manager. And to look after my things. Because that's a reasonable service. And if you don't do a good job, I'm going to fire you. And you say, well, I thought you said we couldn't lose our salvation. No, you can't. But your life might be prematurely ended. You know, there are some that die young because they don't live right. Just the truth. I'm not saying that's always the case, but the Bible does speak of that. Hey, if you're saved, listen, this is tough, I know. But I know of born-again believers that have gone off on the wrong side of things, and they go out and try drugs one time, and they OD and die. And I also know there are people that use drugs for years and years and years and years, and they don't die. You tell me what's the difference. Okay? Now, I'm not passing judgment on anyone. Please understand that. But do you understand that we must give control of our life? It's a reasonable service. We need to be committed to the Lord with our life. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 7. I love this. Go to Colossians. We learned this passage of Scripture a couple of years ago in our Christian school. Colossians 3, chapter 3 and verse 1. Book of Colossians is in here somewhere. There it is. Found it. Chapter 3, look at verse 1. He starts out with the word if. If ye then be risen with Christ. Then he gives a command. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It says, do you see that? When Christ, who is our life. You know, some people, the common phrase in my teenage years was get a life. I got one. Jesus gave it to me. When Christ, who is my life. He's my life. He has bought my life. It belongs to him. So therefore, it is his. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. You see, it's no longer that way. Our life, we are dead. Our life is hid with Christ in God. And he is our life. And that is commitment. That's commitment. Remember Matthew chapter 6? Jesus is kind of wrapping up things and he talks about you cannot serve God and mammon. He then says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Well, that's pretty simple, right? In other words, don't worry about it. It's okay. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat. I do consider that from time to time. Or what ye shall drink. It's funny. I was telling my son, Ethan, he had a soda and he was going to work. And I said, don't forget, soda dehydrates. And I was drinking one too, so. But take no thought for that. Nor yet for your body. I obviously don't take thought for that. Okay? Or what ye shall put on. I could care less. Unless it's pink. Is not the life more than meat? And the body than raiment? Remember the disciples when they went into the town of Samaria? Right? And the woman in the well came out. And they went to town to buy food. And then Jesus witnessed to the lady, right? She got saved. She goes back into town to bring everybody else out there. In the meantime, the disciples come back, right? Get there and Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of the Father. I don't need anything to eat. They're like, well, did somebody bring in something to eat? Okay. I mean, they got a Big Mac and a large fries and a Coke and they're all happy. Now listen, we got to understand that there's more to things. My meat is to do the will of the Father. That's my job. My sustenance in my life is to do His work and to live His life. This life is His. I'm to live it for Him, to be committed. We could go on and read some more things there. It says whatever, but verse 33, you know this verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the days, a day is the evil thereof. Now, to be committed is to let God have control. He's got control of our salvation. He's got control of our life. Then go over to Esther chapter 4. Not just the life we're living now. But what about, I called it fate, but you can call it the future, whatever you'd like to call it. Are you letting God have control of that? In Esther, somewhere in the Old Testament here, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, there it is. Chapter 4. Remember this exchange between Mordecai and Esther? Look at verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink there 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." You think Paul, as he went to these cities throughout Asia Minor, ever walked into a city in a situation saying, "You know, things look a little cold here. Attitude-wise, temperature-wise, you know, not temperature, but you know how that cold feeling you get. Looks like they might stone me to death here. Let's go to a different town. Or, you know what? We're here in Philippi, and they're not really kind to what I've got to say, and I might end up in the inner prison singing songs at midnight with Silas. Let's go somewhere else. If I perish, I perish." You know what? My future is not important to me. You know why? Because it's His future. It's not mine. David Brainerd was, I believe, 29 when he died on the mission field. You know, well, you said, "Well, why couldn't he have lived to 79? I don't know. As far as you know, as far as any of us knows, he didn't do anything wrong. He did his best to reach the Indian people. The Indian people here. One time, I think the story is recorded, he prayed in the wintertime in the snow, and the snow was melted around him because he was praying so fervently. You know, I mean, what a godly missionary as far as we're aware of. Jim Elliot, down there to the cannibals. Why did those men have to die through the gates of splendor? You can read the story. It's a wonderful story. Why? They were all young men, missionaries trying to reach cannibalistic tribes in the Amazon. I mean, isn't that good? Do you think they cared about that? Doesn't seem like it. You know, often is told to me the story of Mr. William Borden, heir to the Borden throne, fortune. Huh? Yeah. He wrote in his Bible several times he was on his way to be a missionary. He never actually got to the mission field. Died before that happened. But in his Bible he wrote, no regrets. No regrets. Folks, do we have regrets? Because, I mean, listen, I'm 43 years old. I would like to see my kids grow up and maybe get to experience grandkids. But can I say like my friends, the three Hebrew children? But if not, it's okay. My fate is in His hands. It's in His control. You know, we've got to live for Him no matter what. I'd like to think that if they outlawed this old book and preaching, that I'd stand here and get myself arrested or shot. Don't forget, I shoot back. But you know what? Yeah, I'm willing to do that. As a young man, I had no problem going into the military to serve my country. Not a problem at all. I was a little smarter than my brother. He chose the infantry in the army. I chose the navy, far away from the bullets. Okay? It just depends on how you want to do it. Amen. The smart ones join the Navy and Air Force, right? Amen. That's right. Okay. All you Army people, I love you too, okay? I do. We military brethren can tease each other. But can I tell you something? I would have given my life for this country. I would have. Because I was committed to it. And I'll tell you, I stand right here, right now, I'll tell you, I'll give my life for my Savior. If I perish, perish. And that's okay. Because I'm committed to it. How committed are you? How committed are we? How much does this characteristic shine in our life? Remember what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. He's faithful. He will take care of you. And it is okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul closed this book out by saying this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit corruption or incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Committed? Committed. Folks, we got to be committed. Let Him have control. Hey, control of your salvation, control of your life, and control of your future, your fate. What happens with your life? How long do I get to live? It's okay. It's okay. It's His to control. Just be committed. Committed.